So we're holding here in Midas. Did we finish the Perek Aleph or not? I don't recall.
1 second.
Do we see Valdoreno as there, or I can't remember?
We didn't finish the Perek.
Okay. So he's going to launch over here into an issue which speaks about in a lot of places, and it is about the Derech HaLimud of his Dor. He speaks about it in the Siva Torah, he speaks about it in the end of Pirkei Avos, in the sixth Perek. Briefly, as he describes the Seder of the learning in his Dor, was as follows. And he writes extremely, extremely sharply about it. It's interesting because the Maral in the Sefer, you see a very deep sort of contemplative style and so on. And when he speaks about current issues, he's really, really out with a vengeance. Whatever he talks about, he's very, very, very sharp. And one of the issues he's really sharp about is Derech HaLimud. And his basic, if I can sort of sketch out the issues and the circumstances, you're supposed to learn in a way that you will accumulate a lot of knowledge. You will have learned through Torah, Tanakh, Mishnayos, Gemara, thoroughly know it a lot, and say svaras that are very yasher and to the point, and that's that. And this requires a lot of hard work, no nonsense work, and a lot of effort. What has instead happened was there was a development of a tulpul Derech HaLimud, where people were bright and they learned how to hakashes and sort of talk off the top of their heads and create long tulpulims that were wrong. The premises was sheker and the hemshek was sheker and so on. They didn't need or want to really learn a lot of material because it takes a lot of effort and it's difficult and it's underappreciated. They, if you're bright enough, by learning a little bit and hacking a big cup, you can actually go very far. That, in a sum total, was the way he describes the learning his door. He says that it's something that ought to be, people ought to take kriya on what's happened to learning. We're talking the 1500s, by the way. And people who know nothing claim to be big rabbanim. They paskin out of a shofar, because they're known to study the Gemara. Because they didn't work in learning and they didn't spend the proper amount of time and harabani and so on, they're also highly arrogant and bad balmidas. And that's the stated union of his dar. Basically, that's where he puts it. And he's really, really upset. Now, I want to make a point. That's a very difficult. It's something that for the people listening who spend time in yeshivas versus it will have some sense versus people who haven't spent time in yeshivas, not as easy to understand. Iyun in learning is very appropriate. Iyun means that the person needs to understand what are the different ways one can understand the Gemara, what are the problems that need to be solved so that the Gemara comes, so that we figure out what the Gemara means at the end. Bederach Klal, there will be a few shitas in the main Rishonim, one or two or three shitas, what are the different approaches, and a lot of times you have to deal with a kasha that's at the heart of the matter and say a svara that's yasher and makes sense and goes to the depth of it. Basically, in a certain sense, that's what today we feel more or less as a brisker derech. You look at the sugya at the heart of the point, try to exactly describe it properly, define it properly, shows sometimes we're dealing with two or three different elements that are sort of jumbled together, but maybe there's two things in Dinim involved in this. For instance, when you give a gift, certain halachas come from the fact that you're dealing with a shtar, like any other shtar. Certain halachas come from the fact that it's a gift, which is unique. Those are simple logical classifications that without properly identifying them, you have a mishmash. And Lamdin is someone who intelligently understands and analyzes what he's learning and so on. What happens is since that is seen as a cherry on top, and so today the marshal in yeshiva, people, let's go with that before. What the bad pilpul that many farm referred to in the old days was as follows. Akash would be asked on a sugya. A person would conjecture a teretz, which really had no basis for logically why one would say it. You know, when it's okay. It's not wrong. In a sense, there's no clarification. But if Seichel Yashu wouldn't have said it, but he says it, he comes up with a chaf and he says it, then he goes off on a long tangent and tries to disprove the point or prove the point. A lot of times with riots and things that are not less mukhah, not more mukhah than we said to start with. So you can, if you're bright enough and quick enough, you can go on an endless chain of kasha. Well, this would be well if you learn this thing like this, this like this, like I said. But if you learn it, this along this one, I don't know. And it's not as if you have a logical reason why it is. Imagine, just for the sake of a muscle, let's say somebody's doing a study on the effect of nutrition on cancer. So an intelligence study starts with certain things that one would suspect or expect, tries to focus on those, tries to build some sort of logical thesis, and then starts looking for the data and seeing if it works out. But if a person just takes columns and lists everything from avocado down to zebras, and then you can keep going to ask, well, maybe zebra people will have to eat lime also, and none of it is in dry logic, none of it is wrong, but Seichel says it's not right, And so you can keep going more also. Well, this Gemara might be going like this. This Sugi might be going like that. Yama. Why? Oh, I mean, some vague sense of it. And then go on and then try to prove it. This proof, you can write a marvelously long sefer on things that are built out of empty air. And this was, people were brilliant. People had a lot of time. And it was an easy way to become a noted Talmud Chacham. The flip side of that net was, people were Amaratzim. And also the things they said were wrong. So this is something, so the appropriate way to learn is that the purpose of learning should be to know, to accumulate knowledge, to build, and a Bardas knows that to know something also means to appropriately explain it, categorize it, define it. Those are things that are necessary points in understanding it. So I guess today the Derech HaLimud has become crooked a different way. What happens is there are many possible approaches in a sugya, and you can spend all the time in shir going through. So the fellow learns like this, or Reuven learns like this, or Shimon learns like this. One could say this, or the answer Kasha Reuven. It's a process that, in a certain sense, becomes meaningless at some point, and it doesn't help you get a better sense of the subject. I'll just toss out something. My Rebbe Reb Nachum, who obviously is my Rebbe, I consider him, but I think by everyone consider him a paradigm of what it means to learn properly. A Rosh Hashiva came to him. He started yeshiva, and every week he would tell over his shir called Rav Nachum and sort of get approval. So from Metzias Man, the first man, he said something on Chalukah and so on, and that was fine. The second week, he was saying on Amud Beis on the Nemanis of Amocher, And before he started, Reb Nachum cut him short and he said, just like it's the duty of a yeshiva to teach a Talmud what one ought to learn, it is the duty of a yeshiva to teach a Talmud what one ought not to learn. And therefore, he said, in both Metzia Beis and Beis, one does not learn the Inyan of Neman Zemocha. The Gemara brings it as a side point. You don't have enough information on the subject. So the only reason why you do it is because it's kind of a badge of honor that you're going slowly because you're doing such tremendous healing. But what it does is Lundas is supposed to teach students how to focus and how to find the relevant points. And what you're doing is the opposite. And I guess and for us, that's the same thing. So you have people who have many years in Shiva, their cumulative knowledge is quite minimal, and it becomes very discouraging. So they go off and they don't bother to learn much more because what's the point of it? I don't know much more. I find personally, being in yeshiva, there are two junctions where people are Tohe Ala Rishonos. One is those who go into Yoridea and they learn intensely for a year, year and a half. And for the first time in their lives, things have real answers, real conclusions, and they can answer 100 questions on a test. They say to themselves, I think I've misspent all the years in yeshiva. Worse than that is, they go to law school or they go to college and they actually can write a paper, they have to say something, they have to prove a point, and they take a final at the end of the semester and they actually have a body of knowledge that they know, at least till the end of the final, but they actually have a sense of it. And it is unfortunate. My father, Chaim Brucker, used to push learning quickly in yeshivas. They learn more quickly. And it wasn't, my father was a very big London, but he said somebody who's in Kolo, and this is his 8th year, 9th year, 10th year learning, and should be able to go at a pace and still know as well. And the way he described the consequence of not learning it was, he said, imagining a man needs to be absent for a few days because his kid is sick or something. He comes back to yeshiva, he doesn't see that he really missed anything. So then he says to himself, if I'm not missing all that much, why don't I take a 3-day vacation? I don't think they'll be holding much further, and so on. All the shurim that was said in European yeshivas, until World War II, they got up to that pay, that tzaddik. It had to do with the fact that, A, there were very few sparm around, so you stuck to the Maharashi Taisis, the Rosh, the Rikh, the Ran, and the Rambam. To get a Rosh from the Mir Yeshiva, you need to sign up for days in advance for your slot, 15-minute slot, in the Yotah Sparm. So people focused on learning over the Masechta again and again. It was normal for people to be tested on the Masechta. Reb Zalyevsky told me that Reb Zilu tested him on Ola Bava Kamma. And he asked him on a Taisis, a Pirate Ticket Taisis to Pipara, and he excused himself that it's not really about the Talmud Kinyanim. And Reb Zilu said that's true, but Taisis did see fit to put it in about the Talmud, so, I think you ought to know it. But that was really so people knew material, and then on top of that, you also have to be able to understand it. It is true that if you just say the fact in the Zikin, you don't quite have it. Unless you're able to actually sharply define it, crisply define it. It's not like Or Haim where you say, do I use the top matter or the bottom matter? When you say something has a chazaka, you need to define it. What does it mean chazaka? At what level is it a presumption? What level is it? These are things that are logical pieces, but they need to stand in the framework of actually knowing something. And he writes it off to Atlas, and we'll go through his Russian. So it's very uncharacteristic. These type of Lashonas of his are not the norm, but when he does speak about topics, he really is quite ferocious. Well, the Reina of the Nehemar, and our generation would set the pasuk, Mech.
Sorry, Rabbi?
Yes?
Maybe this is what he's going to explain.
Yeah.
If they were Balei Seichel, and yeah, they really were brilliant people, wouldn't they chap their own dipshits?
The problem is that the person's needles are usually intertwined with what they think is right or wrong. And so if you keep getting it in yeshiva and keep getting reinforcement life, his mind works so quickly, nobody can go keep up with him, so it tends to reinforce itself. At some point, it's so high in the tree that it's hard to climb down. You know, you're talking, it's not, they're not dealing with objective reality, they're talking about themselves. So, I mean, I don't want to bring in current concept, but I've been doing, I do the bechinas for the Mir Yeshiva in America the last year and half or so. And, you know, many times, boys will say things that they don't know what they're talking about. They learn so little. I mean, a few boys took a bechina from a very, very good yeshiva in Lakewood, Yeshiva Gola. They've been there 2 years, 3 years. They learned from the beginning of the winter in Gittin 2 blots and 3 lines, and then they skipped to a different sugya, which has no business being learned in Gittin because it's not a sugya in Gittin, and they'll be spending the rest of the month on that. They're doing it after morning, they're after afternoon, and they're different with a different parent. Same pace. And at night they have the shir. There's two problems. First of all, there's never going to be cumulative knowledge. Two, the eon picture is going to be very distorted. I mean, let's take a marshal in Lahavo of in law. You take a contract. So before you go looking for little words that might mean this or that, you say yourself, okay, what's the general sense of the contract? What's the thrust of it? What are the major points of it? Let's take a closer look at something. But there's an intelligent proportion between the big picture, the smaller picture, and the micro picture. And they don't have that. It's almost like a game. And now, younger kids are like that. Kids like to do something that's exciting, like to be successful at something. I understand. I also had this issue when I was young, and I also enjoyed the extraordinary svara, the super deep svara. That's just part of the fire of the youthfulness. But the authorities with the voice of maturity saying, you know, in fact, somebody once told my brother was not saying a shiur, one of my brothers, and that's the question he told him. You know, that's a rich man's kasha. If you've got everything else taken care of, you have the luxury of dabbling with this thing. But we don't have that. Let's get to the heart. Today they have an index for all the kashas on the Masechta and Baba Basra, Baba Kama, the Shamsi Tangle has. For a boy to go through that as is a churban. A person when he's learning, a derech halimud means I train myself to ask the right questions. I train myself to distinguish between a question that must be answered or else I don't have it, to a question that's really bothersome but I can still live without it, to a question that's trivia and cute and we'll leave it for some other time when we're relaxing on Aiden with an infinity of time to go. And that's part of the maturing process of learning. So the problem was, like I said, they would have, there's a letter from Akiva Eiger I once saw that obviously, I mean, I gather from the response where he's coming from. A friend of Akiva Eiger's had asked him to please give his son a bechina. And, you know, he wanted to get feedback from Akiva Eiger, how he's doing. So can you write him a letter? Your son duly arrived and says, hey, he gave me a letter and, you know, that I should give him a bechina. I told him, fine. You know, he said, okay, let me tell you the shtickle fire that I have for you. But if Kivega writes, that's not my derech giving bechina. I like to learn through something. And he probably doesn't have enough time because he got friends and he's got a face and so on and so forth. So I wish them all the well. And that was it. But the point was, Sir Kivega said, let's see how he learns a sugya. Let's see a sugya. Where's he starting from? Where's he finishing? What's the point? That's really the point of all of it. So there are necessary tools to answer certain questions, to raise certain questions, to make the yukim. But those are little tools. It's like a dentist's office, having all the tools of a dentist does not make you a dentist unless you know what to use for what. When do you drill and when do you plug and when do you do neither? That's quite important. part of being a dentist. So yes, it was smart, and obviously the door were different, but for a lot of young people, this was, you know, like I would say, a full 6 pages, 18 pages, 55 pages, a whole safer, and he would, you know, and a lot of it is, yes, it could be highly unlikely, but then it became a springboard, so let's see if we can prove for it, prove against it. Back on the proof, the other way to prove, and in a certain sense, if you're bright enough, you can keep the other person pursuing you. I told somebody once, there was somebody in the mirror, very, very smart. Not such serious learner, but he's brilliant. Now, someone asked me about, told him, let me ask him a question, whatever. I told him, he can always run quicker than you, but you never have a feeling that he's gotten to a clearing. It's like, I can't, you know, by the time I figure out that where he's taking me to is still not the answer, he's further ahead, and I can't give up. But I still got the feeling that it's not as if it's worked out, and I've identified how to learn the subject, this is it, and so on and so forth. So that was, I guess, it. He says, Kikashim benarusu vachusa ilayme teira, chietia teira etzloi. He gives to the young slave mishtaka. When he's young, they don't learn teira in a way because when you're young, you remember. When a person wakes up and he sees he has no teira, as the vaday, he wants at that point to have something he hasn't got it. The whole idea why that keep Esau do say holachah bachurim lumod mashenisadero. When he was young, he ran after the youngsters to learn the things that he enjoys doing. Well, the error shenitik nasei, and then when he gets older, kashi matav nechasim ekoil, when he really has nothing, or mashen roya elof shenitik nasei malachachem v'teira. And what he should have had was a lot of knowledge. Then he would have added, I always tell, speak to Bachrim, the biggest incentive to do something is as follows. Let's say a person is working someplace. He's working for a store. And the guy gives him, I don't know, for the holidays or for extra work, $1,000 bonus. And he puts $1,000 in the bank. The next week, he gets $100 a week, he puts in $100, he now has $1,100, and $1,200, and $1,300, and the sense of that accumulated wealth makes him quite eager to work. And it keeps him going, because he's $1,300, $1,400, so on and so forth. If a guy gets $1,000, he blows it, takes everybody out, and sort of spends it on the weekend. The next week, he's working hard, and he's going to put $100 in the bank. There's very little cheshek to put $100 in the bank, and it doesn't get you going. If a person has learned a sizable amount, I feel he knows. So now I want to learn this, and now I want to learn this. If there's a sense that everything he learns accumulates, it keeps the person going. But if the sense is he's got nothing, if he wakes up at the age of 40 or 50, it doesn't really have much material that he can claim as being his own. How much cheshek do you have to go on with it? The only thing he gathered was a lot of empty air. And then when he got tired of churning air, he doesn't have anything. So what happens is, now when he got older, the person claims himself to be a great Lamdin, and he says, yeah, I can be mechalful this way, that way, the other way. I can uproot mountains, you know, dash boulders, lahapok stay near Zerua, Saras Rashim called Tori with Gan El Kimhi. I could take a field that's completely, I could take an empty field and make it, a field that has produce. The holti la hafachoy such a shorlo shirish emet at the nemon. So I can flip around. I can take an empty field and make it full, and a full field and make it empty. In other words, the person says, yeah, just I can prove to you any point, any way you want. Im adam shorlo miyad of it. and I'll ask him, okay, who are the people that can testify how great you are learning? As Yomai, I'll say, what are you talking about? Kol Amaretz in some of the Shkoki, read all of this. Like Rossi, ask any Amaretz in the marketplace, and I'll say, what kind of great London I am. It's sort of double cynicism. He's saying, you know, he has an audience of Amaretzim, and he's an Amaretz, and then together they work really well. And this is what all these Amaris wish. They want this for their kids also. I want my kid also to be such a big Mephalti. Then he can put himself on a pedestal. The Yom Rebnei Adam, people say, Hine ze chavesh atash bach ha'aretz. Look at this. The Valdez of things. Kizeo ish Moshe sho'er oilom. Look at this man. He's a veritable Moshe Rabbeinu, the light of the world. Hoide v'adora v'orom yoyim. The Gam Laila, it's a Moshe sho'erosei. Moshe Rabbeinu needed 40 days and 40 nights to become full of Torah. This guy, Zekon HaKol Yom Ksav, this guy did it much shorter. He spent a short time learning. But after Rosh Hamoirim, now he's one of the great teachers. Kind of very, very cynical. He called the Ra'isi down to the heavenly. He said, I myself have tasted it when I spent empty years doing that. And he writes this in the end of their Chaim. He writes that, you know, I'm writing this as tshuva for my own wrongdoings. I spent a long time doing, you know, wasting my time on this, and I then found a safe approach, a tzadikim, which enlightened me, and only I would have found it when I'm young. So the best I could do is to write about it, to use my own past mistakes to help people for the future, and maybe see my kapara and so on. Oh, it's very, very powerful. But Martel Oyres Adim Lachokit Mishnasai, I'm trying to wake a person up. Kicholim Chaloimu. He's dreaming, he's fantasizing. The Daiba Oyresu. Gandibar is a Mokam Achak, Professor, other places. Bakola, Dailas, that's still not enough. Those that call it Bakola. It is the tragedy of Al-Dori, right? Yeah, that's what people do. And to some degree, it's something that has invaded our door also. And for someone not in the yeshiva, who's never understood it, who's never taken it, mixed it everything together, there is time that needs to be spent on something. It takes time to get things down. People need to learn how to understand how to learn. But there needs to be a sense of how it's coming together. It can't be that people are learning how to learn and they're never actually learning. That they've learned subjects, they can't put them together. They don't have any real sense of it. It's become, my muscle is, it's like when you take, if you look at a person's skin only through a microscope, you will never recognize the person in the street because the whole picture doesn't look. Yes, I can analyze each pore and I can tell you a lot about each hair, the 89th hair on the second column from the right, on its right cheek, has got a problem in its pore, but that's not going to help very much recognize a person. Unfortunately, because people don't understand, they look at somehow the competition as being who can do, quote-unquote, more Iyun. More Iyun is not staying more Mepharshim, it's not staying more, it's not staying long on a block. It's saying things that are more mature. It's giving a mature sense of where the city is and where it's not. It's pointing out things that are noteworthy as opposed to the million things that go into the infinity of Torah. It means saying things that make sense both from without the sugya and from within the sugya. Somebody told me what is Torah that fucking told me was. They told me it was a so-called Rebbe Fair, and it went along the lines, Rebbe does not think like it, would never say anything, and it's a hard enough Rebbe Fair, they never should set it for kids. But the point was, you say, okay, set it. If I am a Shomer Chinam, a Shomer Sachar, and so I ask somebody to please hold a package for me for a month, so that becomes, it's considered that person's Mishus. That's Gemara all over. idea for Psochim, it's an idea for other Yerim. That's 100% true. Being holding something key for someone else is a certain domain, and it's relevant to certain halachas. That's all gone. But this boy continued, name it's Rebbe, in name of Rebbe Ofer, which he does not say, that it's in your domain, and therefore, if the person giving it to you comes to you and says she doesn't need you to wash anymore, you would like it back, so let's say I ask you for 30 days to wash my object, and then 3 weeks later I come back and I say, hi, it's okay, I don't need it anymore, thanks. The person can say, no, I'm holding it for another 2 weeks. I looked at him and I said, it's absurd. Don't you understand it's absurd? The person said, so. I said, how can a person know it's absurd? I said, it's not as if the person borrowed it, which I still could make it back, but at least borrowing was a transaction of that nature where I got to keep it for my own good. And therefore, it's a rental I could keep. It's not even like buying money, which again, is Shiloh, but at least there's room to understand that. I said, she's watching it for me. It's my object. What does it mean to say I want to tell it to me? What do you mean? What do you want to tell it to me? It doesn't make any sense. And the poor boy, he had greater one as Chachamim, and he's but I said, don't you understand it's absurd? And I wasn't getting a response there. The press says something, doesn't say that, he says something else, also a deep point, not an easy point, but a point. And if a boy can't look at, take 2 steps back and explain something and understand it and so on, then he's not getting it. Now, if there are young boys that they start learning how to learn, yes, they will say things that are flawed and things that are silly and they don't quite get it. Okay, there's a process, there's a learning curve. You have to distinguish the younger kid, old kid, but at some point you need to see someone maturing and saying things that even though they're deeper, but it's a sensible deepness, not just off the charts. That's part of our problem. And like you said, it's always easier to hop around. Revolver writes in his knowledge sure with the Derech Halimut for Bachrim and so on. He says he has seen Bachrim spend long years learning and not have anything, and they didn't even realize that they weren't learning. They learn a piece of Gemara, they have a question, they go on to this person asking what he's talking about, the other person asking, and he describes it with the Gemara that Astira Belegina Kish Kish, if you have a few small coins and a push that make a lot of noise. So this person spent his days running around, hacking there, Kasha Paris, this, that, and got no place. There's no bottom line written, no accumulated knowledge. And it's hard to pull somebody from a Tzachem, even if he spent 20 years in Yeshiva, he doesn't have much committed knowledge. Now, there are ways to the other way. There are, a person can just keep learning words and saying words, not be able to identify them and talk about them intelligently and put this together. Learning is a very serious part of it, but even got to have a certain staple to guide. I mean, the morale is also firm on the Bavitsia and on Erevin, possibly Shabbos, if you have them, I don't remember which one I didn't do, I can just recall the ones that offhand I remember. And they're very lumdish, very interesting. They have a certain lumdish feel to themselves. Sometimes chat on his lumdish, but it's also, these are points, and that's it. It's not never ending, and it's not, he looks for the heart of it on the first shot, rather than just kind of an infinite amount of drain, which is impressive, but not very good in the truth. Yeah, I'm sorry, kind of digress, but so did he digress. Any brief questions? I'm going to have to go very soon. Hello?
No.
Okay, now,
I have to think about it.
Are we on?
Sorry, I'm not asking. Can you hear that?
Are we on, Deep? What's the story?
One more time?
Next week? On.
I think we start after Nissan, I guess.
Okay, so we're off. Next week we're not on.
We're not on next week, and we'll start after with the newsman, basically.
The first. Okay, very good, excellent. Okay, so Chag Kosher Sameach, everybody.
Thank you,
Rabbi. Yeah, and we should be zayichet to Pesach is very much zrizut. that's the primary disease which is offered to breed all the
kids. Okay, good job.